We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Okay, well, it looks like we can go ahead and get started. I want to welcome everybody again to our program this afternoon, Experiential Learning Through Theater, Lessons from Broadway. I am Carol Ann Asante, the Executive Director for CYTA and the CYTA Youth Foundation, and just want to thank all of you for being with us today. So here we go. Thank you again for joining us this afternoon. Just a quick note, CYTA is an association of businesses who really want to provide amazing experiences for students through travel. The CYTA Youth Foundation is our organization that provides scholarships for travel and then teaches the traveling community like yourselves who really believe that an experience from a field trip to that first overnight trip to possibly that trip to Broadway really impact your students in a positive way. The CYTA Youth Foundation offers scholarships for teachers. All of you can apply for a travel scholarship for your individual students, or we now have a group travel scholarship where you can apply for a scholarship for your class. And at the end of the webinar, you'll see some information on where to apply for those scholarships. The Teach and Travel community provides information through a print magazine, e-news, as well as through our social channels. One of the things that we did for you as educators is we did a series of reports that can help you demonstrate to your administrators the positive impact that travel can have in your students' lives. And teachers like yourselves overwhelmingly said that travel increases learning in the classroom, it increases self-esteem and self-confidence, it increases curiosity. And you know what, in today's really challenging world, it provides an opportunity for your students to get to know others, whether that's in the next town, the next state, or even studying abroad. So we have resources that can help support your opportunity to travel. I'm really excited to have this program today because one of the things that we've learned through many of our travel experiences is that students are the number one, really the largest group of theater ticket buyers. And it's not just drama, and it's not just theater kids, and it's not just music kids, but kids from all different classes with their teachers are enjoying what Broadway has to offer. And we truly believe that travel is an extension of your classroom. And that's why we thought this afternoon, we could bring the lessons from Broadway to your classroom, have you introduce it to your students, and then we're hoping that your first experience, of course, will be to New York and on to Broadway. I'm so thrilled to have Michael and Angela and Bob, who's in the background with us today, for this terrific presentation. And again, at the end of the session, I'll be able to see your questions. So we've allowed about 15 minutes at the end. So please post any questions that you might have. And I'd like to take it away and introduce Michael and Angela.
Hi, I'm Michael Watson.
And I'm Angela Pierce. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Very excited.
It's wonderful. Well, let's just get going with the definition of experiential. It means involving, observation,
mm-hmm.
and...
imagination.
Imagination. Yeah, using your imagination constantly. And what's so wonderful about coming to a place like New York City is you're able to see so much around you, mm-hmm. and yeah, you can use your imagination.
Just to also capitalize on what she was mentioning before about travel, I think travel does do all of those things: confidence, excitement, imagination, character building skills. All of these things are so incredibly important. Traveling for me always broadens my horizons and allows me a more profound, more deeper understanding and communication of other people, people either in my culture, outside of my culture, and it's so important that we continue to enliven that through students and get them excited about, because I think traveling is you can really learn a lot from that.
Well, what you just said about communication, mm-hmm. theater is all about communication.
All about communication.
Yeah. It's in rehearsal and going to the theater. Mm-hmm. An audience communicates back to the actors on stage.
I think sometimes people forget that the audience is actually the third character that is consistently changing.
Yeah.
And you as audience members are constantly giving back to us as performers an energy, a dialogue. There's always a dialogue that's going on, not only on stage, but in the audience. And we need you. We need that exchange. Because we can't, I mean, I guess you could make theater and plays and musicals in a bubble and never have an audience, but it's not about that. It's about community and sharing and just having that experience.
Well, a play, I mean, you can read a play, but hearing it out loud, that's what a play is for. That's what it's called a play. Mm-hmm. We're playing. And the audience is playing with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that experience alone, even walking into a theater in New York is exciting, but it's also it's a history lesson.
Oh yeah,
because of when they were built, mm-hmm. And there's no other place in the country and in the world except maybe the West End,
mm-hmm.
In London, but that all these theaters are together.
Yeah, this is truly the most concentrated in New York City, and the Broadway community is the most concentrated amount of theaters and just live performance spaces in, I think, the world.
I think so. And even Off-Broadway has now become concentrated.
Huge.
Off-Broadway is really it's part of the theater district now.
You
it's
can
changed.
Basically turn the corner and find some sort of a performance space, either Broadway House or Off-Broadway House, or even some of the, I went to school at the Juilliard School, and for me, I sort of grew up in and around in college with the Metropolitan Opera and the American Ballet Theater and Avery Fisher Hall, and I didn't necessarily take it for granted, but gosh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Well, I lived outside of New York. Mm-hmm. I didn't come here until after college, and growing up in a small town, I dreamt of New York, and coming here, I said this at the beginning, but coming here with a high school group changed my life.
Mm.
It was amazing. We had moved to Indiana from West Virginia, but we had moved to Indiana, and I was so lucky to have two drama teachers, and one was really into musical theater, and one was really into plays.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, one couldn't sing, one loved to sing. Well, she probably could sing, but she didn't want to sing.
Okay.
But she enjoyed being an actress and doing and straight plays, and so I got the benefit of both. And they took us on this trip, and it was
amazing. To New York City.
Yes, to New York City. Yeah.
Wow.
So I remember it vividly. I remember we had a Meet the Artist, and the Meet the Artist was an understudy in Travesties at the time. And he later went on to become quite famous, and I would see him on TV and in movies.
That's
and
inspiring.
It was. I got to watch his career build, mm-hmm. you know, and so that was an amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember constantly looking up when I came here, and seeing Lincoln Center for the first time.
Yeah.
And we actually got to watch a rehearsal with Jerome Robbins.
Really?
Yeah, at
oh,
Lincoln
my
Center.
Gosh,
yeah.
So lucky.
With City Ballet. Yeah, we were really lucky from the balcony, and I'll never forget that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it makes such an impression on your soul.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, it does. It does.
I feel like you sort of grew a little bit in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
I remember the first time walking into a theater, it was with my parents, because mm-hmm. obviously they took me to see shows when I was little. Which
Your
I was,
father was an actor.
My dad was an actor, my mm-hmm. mom was a costume designer, so I always joke, well, I went into heart surgery, which I kind of sort of feel like I do. you know, we open up our hearts as performers, and we share them with our audience and with other fellow actors on stage telling a story. And to me, it feels a little like heart surgery, and then we sew our hearts back up again and go out on the street and have our experiences and come back again. And open up our hearts again to tell that story.
Something that you've mentioned to me before, you think that everybody should take an acting class, mm-hmm. no matter who you are, for two years.
Yeah.
For a year, if they can.
Yes.
Yeah. And why is that, do you think?
I always feel that it strengthens communication mm-hmm. between people. Mm-hmm. It also allows you to have a sense of yourself in space, yourself in relationship to others.
And communication.
And communication. Mm-hmm. And what is it like to build communication skills, therefore, within a community, and how you can problem solve. Problem solving is a big thing. We love, as audience members, to watch an actor, a character, solve a problem. And it's not a negative problem. It's always about how are they going to get through this situation? What's going to happen next? Where are they coming from? Where are they going to? Why are they there? And that, to me, has always been incredibly exciting and something that if you had taken maybe a year of theater or maybe 2 years of theater, it happens to just open up and broaden your horizons. You talk about looking up. Right? And
yeah.
We live in a day and age of, you know, iPhones.
Instead of looking down all the time, look up and see what's in front of you. That's what's so amazing. And I think the theater helps that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It connects us to others.
It's so important. Yeah, we're losing that connection, I think, mm-hmm. with cell phones and mm-hmm. the computer. And remembering to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, yeah, it's huge. And it teaches us rhythms mm-hmm. and tempos.
Well, because we live in an incredible, you know, Gotham of energy.
Yeah, here in the city.
Here
yeah,
in the
yeah,
city, yeah, in New yeah, York yeah. City.
We've got to remember to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, we always have to think about slowing down because our city moves so incredibly fast.
Yeah.
Slowing down, and you can slow down with the breath and connect to yourself, sense of self, so that you can then go forward and actually connect to another person. If we don't have the breath, we lose connection, we lose communication, we actually get shut off from ourselves. And I feel like through the breath and through focus, and obviously yogis have been teaching this for years through yoga classes, but I think it's important because it helps you be a better communicator through the breath, on the breath, and also helps you in just your day-to-day life, going through having your experiences, going to work, going to school, sitting through a test.
A test, especially.
No
one ever taught us how to take a test, or no one taught me how to take a test.
I don't think they ever did.
I don't think they either
did. I would get very nervous. But if I had known how to really genuinely connect to my breath, it would help focus me in a way that maybe I wouldn't have been terrified of math.
I was terrified. The funny thing about it is, and keeping engaged, that's what my algebra teacher taught me. It was so funny because I was always into the theater. I was, even though we didn't have it mm-hmm. in West Virginia, but my algebra teacher would get us engaged in the art of doing algebra, and we would meet after school, and I loved it, and I was terrible at math, and then I started making straight A's in algebra, and I thought...
I needed that teacher so bad.
I thought, how did that happen, you know? It's because she...
And you enjoyed it. You had fun,
right? I had
fun.
I loved it because she was engaging. Mm-hmm. She made it fun. And I think we all learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're teaching a workshop, mm-hmm. when you're teaching acting, you've noticed that.
We
all take in information mm-hmm. differently.
And I don't necessarily teach... I don't teach just theater kids or people that have been exposed to theater, but I teach students who come with no background in theater, who have never seen a Broadway show, who are maybe seeing a Broadway show for the first time. And it's exciting because I learn through them and watch them, sort of their imaginations open up and start to discover their own courage and their own bravery in getting up in front of their classmates, which is a huge, huge... It's just a huge learning curve, I think, for them. And watching them make that, it's exciting.
It takes tons of courage to get up in front of your peers.
Oh, it takes a lot.
Always.
I can get up in front of a group of people that I don't know, but if I was to get up, that's easy.
Yeah.
But to get up in front of my peers or to get up in front of people that may think that they know who I am or have a preconceived idea of who I am, it's always a little bit more challenging. And so I always encourage people to try and get up and challenge themselves. And I always say, think outside of the box.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be tons of different things that are going to put you in a box, and I always say, think outside of the box, because that's where your imagination can soar. You can discover freedom in the imagination. Through the boundaries of a play, you can soar and be free.
Well, that's so within the boundaries of a play, you're playing a character, so you get into the zone. I think it's sometimes, well, for a lot of actors, it's harder to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is for me. But it's a lot harder to get up in front of people as yourself at times. It depends on who you are, of course. But to get into the zone of a character, and that's in the act of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can help also and understand.
Well, it's huge. You know. I mean, just because my parents moved to New York City, and as I said before, my dad was an actor and my mom was a costume designer, but neither one of them continued in the theater. And I really believe that because they had that background in theater, they became quite resourceful in wanting to expand and broaden their horizons and try other things. You can do what you can do by just exploring. You can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the most fascinating thing about being an actor. If you're constantly just talking about theater and not engaging in life, how can you possibly play a character going through real life experiences if you yourself, the person, doesn't have those similar, different, and varied experiences in life? How can you tell a story honestly?
Well, also, yeah, and also, but watching as an audience member, watching a Broadway show, we're lucky we get to go see shows all the time.
So lucky.
Yeah. I pinch myself all the time. I get to go and see a play.
You get to see it one night.
She's working at night, every night. But
but
it's wonderful because you have to engage, you have to listen, and you want to take it all in. And in a show, especially a musical, there's so much going on. There's behavior, there's the song, there's the dialogue, which we call the book of a musical, and you have to be engaged no matter what it is,
mm-hmm.
and that's a wonderful feeling. Instead of sometimes sitting in front of a TV set, you can zone out, or you can go into the kitchen, and in the theater you're there.
It's a live
experience.
You're
really there. Yeah.
Mm.
So
that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And I always feel like, from working each night, the audience, you're very much an active player, and we as actors pick up on that. And sometimes you might think, oh gosh, the audience seems a little quiet tonight. I wonder, are they enjoying it? Or they're just listening very intently. But then night after night and standing ovations, it's really exciting. We feel you out there, and that sense of community is, I think, the reason why I keep doing what I do. I love it so much.
How is the theater for you, Angela? I know what it's done for me, but to just broadening your horizons, to open your mind to other things. That's another thing that I think the theater can do.
Yeah. Well, one of the, not that iPhones are bad, the one great thing that I love about what students have today is research. So for me, as an actor, if I've never been through a particular experience that I'm telling the story of a particular character.
Mm-hmm.
I research. I love research. I crave research. I was a huge history buff in school.
So
I
love
history
and
English.
Yeah, I love history.
That, those were the biggest things, living through history and what was it like during that time. So I would find out what was going on through music, through the politics of that time, and through... And that just automatically informed me even more as a person, because I became then much more aware of a particular area. So, for instance, if I was working on a Tennessee Williams play,
mm-hmm.
I researched what it was like to live in New Orleans at that time after the war, what was going on in the socioeconomic climate, what was going on politically, how were people responding to even just the weather in New Orleans is very different than living in New York City.
And the food. Yeah, the taste of it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, you bring this up about the history. This year we have Oslo on Broadway, which
mm-hmm.
is about, what you tell them a little bit about what it's about with
Oslo
the Middle East.
Oslo is about the Oslo Peace Accord that was going on in the 90s during the Clinton administration, where Israel and Palestine made peace. It wasn't a long-standing piece, but Oslo, in general, I think shows that it is possible, and it gives us hope and strengthens that. And so it's dealing with that political, what was going on at that particular time. And there's a lot of great fun and humor in it as well, because
it brings it to life. Mm-hmm. It brings the history to life. Mm-hmm. And we have.
And I didn't know anything about all of that.
Yeah,
that
I knew a little
on.
Bit about it, but not like what your play.
And
does.
I had to research what it was like to live in Gaza and the Middle East, and I didn't know what the Palestinian border was. And that to me was incredibly exciting, and just the different varied peoples. And then what was it like to live in Norway, and being in politics there.
With the other plays that are currently on Broadway too, like Indecent, mm-hmm. it's about a playwright that wrote a play that that was out of the boundaries of his community, and he went on and it became a huge hit in Europe, and then came to New York.
And it dealt in the
and it was a true story
about the Yiddish theater
uh-huh.
troupe, right?
Yes.
And then we also
So you learn about those things. And we have Doll's House 2, which is
I heard it's phenomenal.
Oh, it's great. I loved every minute of it. But it's amazing because I did a paper on Doll's House in high school. Yeah, I read I think everybody reads it, right?
I studied Ibsen, and I studied all of those sort of Nordic writers. Ibsen, Strindberg, all those.
But I was looking. I went back and looked at the paper I wrote. I kept that. I was pretty proud of it.
It's a great story.
But then, and looked at that, and then went and saw Doll's House 2, which was a contemporary look at what happens to Nora later. And
it's a pretty timely story.
It's a wonderful story. It's about women and women's rights, mm-hmm. about women and what they need to do. Mm-hmm. To progress in this world. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Because then we have revivals like Little Foxes on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Lillian Hellman.
Oh, my gosh. Cynthia Nixon and Laura Linney.
A period piece, too.
Yeah.
It's a period. So you learn about that period. Same with the musicals.
Mm-hmm.
They enlighten you. I mean, with this year I'm talking about, they enlighten you.
Waitress is incredibly. I saw that with you, actually.
Oh, yeah.
It was so inspiring to
me.
Yeah.
Why?
It was inspiring because I felt like there was a character up there on stage that, because she felt a little constricted and constrained in her
mm-hmm,
life,
mm-hmm.
that there was hope, that she could go forward. And that's at least what I took away from it, that you're not always stuck in the place that you call home. You can make home other places.
Yeah, the theater gives us hope.
Yeah, it does.
It's very important.
It does.
And it's important to be inspired every day.
To get taken to another country.
Yeah, yeah.
I get taken to another country every night. I get to go to Norway every day. Except on Mondays.
It's also interesting to walk around the theater district. It's just what you get from the
great
theater
energy.
Yeah, and all the different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Same with in New York City. You when you come here, I hope you experience Brooklyn. I hope you experience Queens.
I
didn't do any of that when I first came with my school group.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed in the theater district, and there's so much around New York City, and that's what is a great field trip. You can go to the Museum of Natural History.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the Met.
Museum of Moving Image.
Oh,
also
yeah,
really
yeah, in Queens, right?
I believe so.
I think it's in Queens.
I think so.
Yeah, it is in Queens.
Then you have MoMA, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Guggenheim.
The Met, Metropolitan.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, so you have all those, and experiencing that also makes you a fuller person.
It does.
Yeah.
We also have really amazing stores. I'm a little bit of a shopper.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I forget about all that.
Well, all of us actors need amazing costumes, right?
So yeah, that's true.
You can go to the Fabric District, which is actually just not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Fabric District, and
we're in the Fashion District right now. We're in the 30s.
Just below Broad, sort of like Broadway Central.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm always amazed by the bolts of beautiful fabric that comes from all over the world that comes to New York City. That's kind of cool and amazing.
Yeah, and so if you do come, as you know, if you're in the theater, if you want to be in the theater, it's important to experience. Well, I think as a human being, it's important to experience, but especially as an actor, since you're playing a lot of different human beings, mm-hmm. it's important to come and experience all those
Everything.
Different aspects
yeah.
of human nature and cultures. And it's interesting because when I was acting, I was in acting an acting studio and doing a show at night, and then we would study during the day. And a friend of mine said, "Michael, all your friends are actors. Everybody that you hang out with, they're all in the theater." And she goes, "Don't you want to learn about other people?" I went, "Yeah." She made a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started having friends that were lawyers and getting out of my theater surroundings
yeah.
also, so that I could grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that? Because we, as people in the theater, we can sometimes be isolated into that community.
And especially if you are lucky enough to be doing 8 shows a week, you do sort of, you get really particular about how you spend your time off. And to mm-hmm. me, I happen to live in the East Village, which is far, far, far away from East Village Gramercy Park area, which is far from Broadway. And I kind of love that because it just gives me that other piece of myself that I know that I need. I have amazing restaurants and other places like jazz clubs that are close by. There's really wonderful, my neighbors, I just love my neighbors. They're firemen and policemen and school teachers and doctors and lawyers. And to me, I sort of feel like you have to sort of get out of your comfort zone to really grow. And that's sometimes hard to do, but it's so important. You have to inspire yourself to grow, and sometimes it's not always comfortable. And so I always encourage people, just because you know it doesn't mean that you stop learning. You learn more. Go outside of the places that you think that you know.
Well, it's interesting you said that about, because for the workshops, we try to create a real safe environment.
Yeah.
And so that students are able to jump
mm-hmm.
and explore.
Well, I always talk about something that's really exciting to me that I learned in improv, mm-hmm. which is the yes and theory.
Yes.
Yes and is a lot more active and exciting and playful than no. Also, people want to work around positive people. They just work more often, just because people want to be in a kind of positive environment that's constantly enriching and enlivening and making you grow and challenge yourself. So yes and is the way all of us should live our lives. Yes and what else? Yes, what more? Yes, I have this and. It's always a much more exciting place to build off of. No, it's kind of uninteresting.
Well, we're taught
it doesn't
no,
go anywhere.
We're taught no pretty quickly.
Yeah.
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 And no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that.
I hate when people say I can't do something because it makes me want to do it 250% more.
Right. Well, sometimes you have to say no.
Yes, sometimes you do have to say no, but within a boundary.
Yeah. But giving exactly. But giving yourself permission to do to go and get up in front of a group of people,
like
giving yourself permission
it's really okay to there is no failure. It's not about failure. It's about exploration.
Yeah, yeah. Always exploring.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I have to remind myself, even at my age. I constantly have to remind myself, it's not about failure. It's about exploring and keep going.
Yeah, exploration is key to almost anything in life.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. So let's talk about the theater district and what the theater district has to offer.
Oh well, my gosh, so much. First of all, there's a little strip called Restaurant Row, which
oh, yeah. you've got to do that. On West 46th Street. Should we give that address? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
So West 46th, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Which is actually not too far from all of the theaters. You have tons of different foods from all over the
world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a great place to go either before you go see a show or after you go see a show. Mm-hmm. You'll see usually a lot of people, actually actors who have just been on Broadway, will go and hop into some of those restaurants afterwards because
it's convenient.
It's convenient,
yeah.
And also they stay open a lot later than they would normally. And also as a performer, I don't like to eat a big meal before I perform, so I would... Not that I eat a big meal late at night, but mm-hmm. It's always fun to go and chat with my friends and see people who've come to see the show, to go have a bite to eat afterwards, and then commune with others that have seen the show too, which is exciting, open conversation.
Also just going around with the different theaters.
Oh, yeah.
The architecture is amazing.
Oh,
and yeah.
The booth, how long has the booth been there? Has been around. I have an old archive drawing from when the booth was in the
1920s, I think.
Is it 1920?
Okay. The oldest, I think, is 1910. That's the Lyceum. I think that's it. Bob, do you have any Lyceum theater?
A local Lyceum theater. I think the history of all of the shows, all of the theaters around in the Broadway area are terrific, and I think that there's also theaters like that in a lot of their hometowns. And one of the things we're hearing on the chat going on here is that they're loving hearing you guys talk about Broadway, and they also want to think that for those people who are not coming into Broadway, I mean, how do they bring that into their classroom? How do they do these same kinds, get these same kind of experiences in their own hometowns and their own theaters through the workshops and through the theatrical experience as a whole?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up because, as I said, I grew up in a town, in a very small town in West Virginia, and I was just aching to be part of the theater. So I came up with my own journey, so to speak. I would Angela knows this story, but I think it's really important because when you feel you're in a rural area in a small town, you feel like you don't have any outlets. And I started watching. I would watch television. When I'm saying about this, like I watch shows with a lot of dancing, and I taught myself how to dance by watching those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go to the library. In those days, we had a library with albums, and I would get the albums, and I would practice. I would do a tourjeté and didn't even know what a tourjeté was, but I was doing them. And then I went and auditioned for a theme park when I was 14.
I auditioned
for a theme park when I was 14. And my parents said, if you get it, you can do it. But they didn't think I would get it because they didn't know that I'd been practicing dancing. Because I would come home, you probably don't know this either. I played football for very briefly.
You played football? So did my dad.
Well, yeah.
That's okay. So
but I hated it.
That's why he went to the theater.
So anyway, I would come home from practice and I would dance. You know, my parents were gone. So that helped because I created my own outlet. I also started a drama club after school in West Virginia. Now, when I went to Indiana, we had our own drama club,
mm-hmm.
and it was very active. But I encourage people and students to write their own plays.
Oh yes, that's super important.
Yeah.
Write their own plays and then get their friends together to read it out loud, and
they
can have their own what's called. Known usually as a salon. You can have a salon series. But or, you know, you could take your iPhone and actually create a movie. You can do a little mini movie and then go back and edit and stuff and share that with your friends and use your friends as actors in that.
Or borrow somebody's camera, a digital camera and film a small 10-minute movie. And you can write it, you can have somebody direct it,
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing. That's what you can do for your own schools.
I also think that a lot of times, a lot of the Broadway shows will go on tour into your hometown, and that's a great way to try and
most,
get
a lot of major cities have them.
Have major
and
cities
sometimes
do that.
And sometimes they
I was going to say, I think this is terrific, and you guys also, because you work so much with workshops themselves, mm-hmm. you have this hands-on with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about what you try to get them to experience,
sure.
and maybe how that can also be transferred into the classroom? We have some of these, we'll probably have as questions later on, but sort of that, I think that would also mm-hmm. be helpful.
Okay.
Well, breathing, for one, you start off with breathing.
So one of the things that I like to do with when I start the workshops is I like to get everybody kind of up on their feet right
mm-hmm.
away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to me to always get them to start to think about the breath. It's something that we all, in general, take for granted. We think that we're breathing when we're actually holding our breath. We actually hold our breath at least, I would say, 90% through your day, and we're not even cognizant of it. So I start to get kids thinking, when they're up on their feet, to think about breath and connection to the breath, and also going inside. I think when kids are, students, at a particular age, they become very unaware of self in space, so I like to bring them back to self and not worry about what others around them are doing, but to then focus on self and their breath and start to just connect to that by just closing their eyes and literally counting to five, and then holding that big, deep, inhaling through the lungs, expanding the rib cage, really getting them to feel what that's like, to just really take a conscious breath, and then release. And then I also start to tell them, well, what does your body feel like now? It feels very different once you've gone and really concentrated on the breath. Your shoulders tend to go down, your neck starts to feel a little bit freer. You start to really see through your eyes, out of your eyes, and really see the other person.
And that's part of the acting, obviously, and improv, too,
mm-hmm.
getting you
mm-hmm.
hands on your feet. But also, we have other workshops like Living the Music, which is really getting in touch with the song and with the lyrics and what you are singing about. That's a really valuable workshop, I find. And we have what we call a Broadway rehearsal,
right.
which takes you through the steps of how a rehearsal would go, a very quick rehearsal.
We have the tools of action, which is
breaking down scenes
so that you know how to look through the character's eyes, look through the playwright's eyes,
mm-hmm.
look through the director's eyes, and be able to have a really cognizant approach to what it's like to break down a play, to break down a scene, and to break down the life of a character in that play.
That's a really important aspect because I never got that until much later. Even in college, I don't think. No one really told me how to break down a scene.
And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but with writing and you as a writer.
I have to break down a scene.
Yeah, you have to break down a scene, but
yeah.
then you also pay attention as
mm-hmm.
As a student to what that writer has written as far as punctuation and beats and all of that stuff.
Oh yeah, everything counts. If I write OH, I want O or ah. I don't want if I haven't written it. You know what I'm saying?
You also have to know a little bit what an ellipsis feels like. It feels in your body. Those beats, those pauses, you have to start to really get a sense of what the dialogue
mm-hmm.
and all of that feels, how it lands in your body.
Even singing a song,
the
way they have set up the lyrics is very important, and how you're going to communicate that song, really, really important. So we have that with Living the Music. We also have that with the Broadway, what we call Broadway Beat, which is 16 bars. And that is usually when you're auditioning for a show, which you can use this for. You can do a 16-bar audition for your auditions in your hometown, for your community theater, for your high school, and it teaches you how to give your best 16 bars and how to communicate that.
One of the things that we were talking about was talking about how to
focus
students in the classroom and how what happens when, in not the classroom,
but
also
stage.
On stage. And Michael, I was saying,
if they know, if you break it down for them, if they know what the scene is about, they're going to be concentrating on the scene of what they want in the scene is what I was trying to say, the movement of a scene. Their objective. So if they have their intention, they're going to go for that intention. And it also helps it also helps take the judgment away of what everybody else is looking at them, because that can have an effect. If you feel like if the actor, the young actor, is feeling judged, it's not ignoring the people around you, but taking that out. Does that make sense? You're focusing on your intention. If you're focusing on your intention, like I'm talking to Angela right now, I'm totally looking at her blue eyes and thinking, oh, nice blue eyes, and I'm not thinking about what you guys are thinking of.
You're right engaged now. In the activity.
I'm engaged, yeah. Another thing, keep them engaged into a task. If you have a task, they're gonna focus on that task rather than focus on what's outside of that world. So much of not being focused is not having
clear idea,
and also the confidence of performing that task.
Sounds like what you're also saying is that it's really getting them focused on the specific.
Yeah.
So the more specific
Correct.
You make it, the mm-hmm. easier it is
right.
to get them focused,
right.
because they wind up getting into this very general, so you focus
right. yeah,
them on
you,
the story,
you
focus
right.
them on the task, you focus
mm-hmm.
them
right.
on the objective, and continually bring them back to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
and
yeah.
even though it's,
yeah,
even
yeah.
though it's called a play, it is a professional experience. You're playing, but you're playing within a structured boundary. So that sense of play isn't what we would normally consider going out in the schoolyard and kind of going crazy, but focusing and honing in what Bob said, what Michael said, and keying in on those really some basic tasks, even getting students to like tie their shoes. What does it really feel like to hold a lace in your hand? Feel it, then close your eyes, recreate that experience. Can you feel the lace when you close your eyes? Doing those kind of sense memory projects that they can kind of focus on and put their energy into.
Also, if you're doing working with them on a monologue or you're working with them on a scene, you can take it a step further while they're doing the scene if you feel like they're caught up in the acting of the scene, and then you can start talking to them as them, and bring it to the present of what they're like as human beings. Just start asking them questions, and then go scene, and they'll go right back to the scene, and you'll see a big difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
Guys, that's great. Oh, make sure that we had an opportunity to answer some of the questions that have come in. And one of them has been, can you share what are some of the most popular topics from the workshops, from your experience in working with different classes? Are there some workshops that resonate more with others? What do you find topics that the students really engage in?
Topics?
Or
specific
the
workshops?
That you're offering right now that seem to be the most popular with the students?
Oh gosh, they're all pretty popular. I specifically teach improv class, like a red nose class, which gets them sort of up in front of their peers and challenges them to have fun, but structured fun. And also another workshop that I do that breaks down the scene. I know that that's incredibly popular. I know that a lot of teachers have said, oh my gosh, I've been saying that in my classroom, but it took you and this experience for them to actually hear it. Does that make sense?
Well, also that that's with everything. I mean, you can be working with somebody for a year and another person comes in and says the exact same thing, and then all of a sudden, boom, the light bulb goes off and you understand it. And that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. But as far as different workshops that are more popular than others, I don't know. Can you speak to that?
They're
pretty diverse.
They're
all
diverse, yeah. So I mean, stage combat, they really enjoy that because they learn how to slap one another in a very safe way. But they get off on that. They love that
Speaking to the artist also is a really popular one where you get to actually engage in a one-on-one conversation
with another actor, yeah.
And what their what their trajectory was to coming now and performing in a Broadway show, like, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
yeah,
or Phantom, or Les Mis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah, they loved knowing what that person goes through in a day-to-day basis.
I'm going to jump in on that, too, because I know a lot of them were talking about the fact that they do, they have that theater in their hometowns, they take them there, and or they're doing them themselves. And a lot of times you can find that same Meet the Artist program there. The actors who are in, whether they're from a Broadway touring company or they're from their regional theater, will go out into those schools as well. So
yeah,
yeah.
And your regional theaters. Go to your regional theaters. Support them.
Please.
Because,
keep theater alive.
Yeah.
Go to them.
Yeah. A lot of new plays start there in the regionals.
Oh,
yeah.
Matter of fact.
Arena Stage, Guthrie.
There's a play that's coming in from Chicago. It started out in Chicago. Sweat.
At the Goodman.
Yeah, and then Sweat started, which is now on Broadway, started out of town. I believe it started somewhere
in Seattle, didn't it?
Seattle or Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon.
It was Oregon.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised how much
is in your backyard.
Yeah. You just got to go out there.
There's a lot of general theaters,
Look. We've got another question that's sort of interesting is, as you meet so many of these students, and I know teachers are working with their students, is there anything that gives you a hint as to someone who has that talent, or do you find that talent comes with hard work? Do you have anything to share with teachers about working with their students, or anything you've identified, you know, that hidden characteristic that might bring to light, or, you know, when they look at their students, anything you've learned about that hidden talent, certainly when they're engaging with these young performers at such a young age?
Right. I think that question gets asked a great deal, and I think there's a lot of different viewpoints on that. But I can only tell you what my viewpoint is. Angela, you might have a different one, but that's where we're all different in that way, and I really believe in that. I think some people are late bloomers, and I think some people, you can tell that they are comfortable in their own skin. The thing is being comfortable in your own skin, and sometimes that takes a person in, you know, till they're 80 to find that, what that is. And sometimes certain kids have it. They're at ease. They're at ease with themselves, and so then they're able to play characters. But you know, I've seen people. This came out of a workshop. I was teaching an acting class, and it was really interesting to me. I turned to this one kid. And he said, "Oh, I'm not an actor. I don't do this. I'm in the tech. I'm a techie." And I went, "Well, come up, you know, come up and just try it." And so he got up and he started working, and he did this monologue. And he goes, "I'm really not good." And he was phenomenal. He was better than the rest of the group that really wanted to do this. Sometimes when you want to do something really badly, you try too hard. I was one of those kids. So I had the thing of trying too hard, trying to please. And this kid just got up, and he was so at ease.
Effortless.
And then he went, and he ended up going to theater. He's going into college in theater, and he's now in a television show, on I think it's ABC. I don't want to tell you what the television show is, because I haven't gotten his permission that I could tell that story. You just never know. It brings me joy, you know, that he is pursuing this and doing it. And he says, at the beginning, he said, "I can't do that," or "I'm not that."
So
you never know.
Watched, we were talking about the classes.
Yeah.
I watched in one of my classes, I always ask that the parents and teachers also join in, because it could be quite fun. I think it's also fun for them to see their teachers or their parents, who are the chaperones, doing the workshop too, because I think it also gives them a sense of courage and fun. And one parent happened to get up and did this improv exercise, and it was stunning. It was beautiful. You have to take a piece of ribbon and turn it into anything you want your imagination to turn it into. And he made us see through his imagination, no dialogue. It was just through body movement and what he was telling through his body and his movement through this imaginary object. He told us a whole story about what it was like to bring a horse out and to put on a saddle. And we saw the size of the horse, the color of the horse, everything through his imagination. And he wasn't one of the students, he was one of the chaperones. And every single person said, oh my God, I had no idea he had that in him. I had no idea that he had that beauty. And he didn't either. He was very quiet and it was a group from Canada. He was very quiet and very unassuming, but it was gorgeous. Everything was so seamless. And because I always say that if you don't see it as the performer, the audience never sees it. So he was so focused on the detail of creating this whole thing. And everybody in the group said, we had no idea. We didn't know.
So
it was exciting.
I guess the lesson of that, too, is that some people, you know, you write off. I'm talking about as teachers. You may write off, and you might not know that they're just ready to bloom, and I think that's been a big lesson for me to see. I walk in, and people that you think are not going to come out of their shell, they come out of their shell and they surprise you. And that's where it's exciting. I think even when somebody comes in and auditions for me, when they're in their own skin, that's what's exciting. We want truth. We want to see somebody that's honest and coming from their heart. No matter what character you're playing, you could play a murderer as long as if it's coming from his heart. You know, getting in touch with that side, it's going to be honest. It's going to be real.
I know, I knew a very, very famous actress who told me, she said a little secret, and I won't tell who this is, very famous actress had been working in theater, TV, film for years and years and years, and a very dear friend of mine. She's very shy.
A lot of actors are.
She's very, very shy, and she comes to life on stage and through characters, TV and film, but in her personal life, she's quite shy and quite reserved. And I think people sometimes assume that you're going to be quite gregarious if you're an actor, if you're a performer. And that's not necessarily the case.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Is there a technique when you're bringing the students together in the first few minutes that puts everybody at ease with each other? Or do you find that you have to do any sort of exercise, as you've talked about, kids getting comfortable with themselves? That you utilize to sort of break down any anxiety before the workshop starts?
Well, I think the first thing, I mean, we do, a lot of us, because we come in and we don't know these students at all.
Right.
So we're coming in, we have no idea who they are. So a lot of times we'll come in and ask them about themselves. And from that, we can see where they're at I always say, who wants to do this as a profession? Just so I can see who is really into theater and who's not. And just because you may not be in the theater doesn't mean you're not going to be in the theater when you leave that room. But it helps me get a thermometer of a temperature of where they're at as a group. And also, sometimes if they say, they're all in the theater, they're all in the drama club, and you can feel it. The workshop will change a little bit because they really want to do this as a profession.
I get them up on their feet right away, and after I introduce myself, and I get them up on their feet right away, and we just do sort of a vocal warm-up, because you can kind of take the temperature of the room if they're a little tired, if it's a morning class or an afternoon class, and they've been running all over the city, which is really exciting. But I get them up, and I start them vocalizing, and with different sounds, and just moving your body in a different way in front of their peers, and you're seeing me, who's the person who works on Broadway in a show, doing it. You can't help but have that sense of play and fun, and it starts to break the wall down a lot, which is great. And puts everybody on the same page.
Also, that they don't feel like they're in a classroom.
Yeah.
They're being judged. That's why we call it Broadway in motion, so that you're constantly, you want to put them at ease as quick as you can.
And they're called workshops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're workshops.
We're not working. We're concentrating.
Workshops, yeah.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
I'm just double checking to see if we have probably just another minute or so for some additional questions, but I do recall in sort of thinking about what you've been sharing, that the theater, using plays, we learned that you can use them to talk about history. Many of the plays speak to history as a way of bringing theater into the classroom and looking at it. You also mentioned, for example, Waitress, and I know the new play, Evan Hansen, really deals with the traumas and real life experiences, you know, around suicide that young people are experiencing today. So it sounds like there's more of a
really
It's a phenomenal show. And also it helps with the, it talks about how we're so involved with technology and the computer.
Communication, and how people communicate
now. And how we get in trouble with that also. That's what, dear Evan Hansen's, it's remarkable. Anyway, so I'm sorry, you continue.
Wanted to say that I think that you're seeing a trend maybe in theater for a lot more real life experiences that these students might be having today, which they can bring into their classroom.
Yes, and that's another thing. Can you hear us?
Yes.
I thought we lost you for a second. Okay, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, doing your own film or doing your own play, writing your own play, because what you're experiencing and what the kids are experiencing in high school right now is topical, and what they're going through is something to write about, and that's important. For one thing, Hollywood really wants to know what's going on in the teenage life.
And if you don't tell those stories, how does anyone ever know?
Exactly. Yeah. So I encourage people to start writing now.
And get together with your friends and read it out loud and start performing and getting out of your comfort zone.
And tell your story. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Well, that's terrific. Well, I just want to give Bob a quick opportunity. I don't know if you had some additional questions that you saw coming in. There's just been a great dialogue while you all have been talking of the teachers talking with each other as well. And we appreciate you all connecting with each other and engaging around this topic. It's one that we think is super important.
Carolyn, I think what you're doing with the EdWeb is really exciting, and we congratulate you for starting this, because without this, how do you know where to go?
Yeah.
It's so important. So thank you to you for
having
us. I appreciate that, and everybody who's working on this today. I think, Charmaine, we're ready just to wrap up then our session this afternoon. I know that there were some notes that we wanted to share with everyone. Just as a note, we wanted to make sure that you knew where to find information about Broadway Inbound, one of our partners. And certainly what's exciting is that through their website, you can also see teachers connecting. You can see the types of workshops that are available. And there are experts there that can talk with you about finding that right opportunity. There was some dialogue on the website about how certainly many of you are working with students who don't have the financial resources, or school boards may not be willing to, send their students on a trip to New York. And we appreciate that. And that's why we're hoping that through EdWeb, we can bring experiences to you from travel into your classrooms, with the hope that at some point, that travel might be possible. And again, through our scholarship programs, we really want to help make that possible for all of you. Again, want to thank both Michael and Angela and Bob for being with us this afternoon. And we look forward to some more exciting programs through our teach and travel communities. So thank you, everybody. And we look forward to talking
thank
with you.
You.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording and take the corresponding CE quiz. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.